I know a lot of you have had this experience because for those of us who in 2020 were all sent home and we were stuck in a lockdown during the pandemic, we had a lot of time on our hands. And I saw an ad for Masterclass and I thought, I want to better myself. I want access to all of these brilliant people who teach you things. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with more than 200 plus of the world's best and smartest. For just under 10 bucks a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And I don't care, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to learn about business. And then another where you say, I want to learn how to survive in the wild if I have no water and no fire to make me warm. You can access Masterclass on your phone, on your computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And the classes totally make a difference. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Liz. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Liz. Masterclass.com/Liz. Hi, guys. So glad you're listening in once again. This is an incredible one. What I love most about so many of the people that we introduce to you is their drive, their sheer will to create a solution to a problem they've faced in their life. Some are, you know, lifestyle problems, like the founder of Untuckit, Chris Riccobono, we just profiled, who couldn't find a shirt that looked good untucked. So he created one, and now he's a multimillionaire. But some are actually life and death problems. I want to take a minute to share a pretty devastating statistic with you. In 2020, cancer killed 10 million people worldwide. Globally, it is the second leading cause of death behind only cardiovascular disease. Now, of course, therapies have improved, but they're only as good as the tests that reveal a person even has cancer. And up until now, diagnostic testing could only detect a handful of cancers, most of which need to be more advanced before they even show up in the blood. That appears to be on the verge of changing dramatically, thanks to my guest today. Ashish Tripathi is the founder of TZAR Labs, which is a molecular diagnostic company that's invented a new test that detects 25 different types of cancers before the tumor has physically formed. As he nears the finish line in finalizing his breakthrough minimally invasive test that could save millions of lives, he is here to tell us when we all might have access to what could be a miraculous development. I am thrilled to welcome Ash Tripathi. Great to have you on Everyone Talks to Liz.
Liz, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad to have met you. And thank you for this invitation.
I'm happier to have met you, Ash, because when we heard about your development, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that so few cancers can even be detected before they're already killing the host or the human.
So Liz, you know, if I can just add another statistic to what you mentioned, cancer is already the biggest killer in the Western world today. And I don't think that statistic actually does the disease justice for the kind of pain and suffering it causes to the individual and the system at large. My wife, as you know, is Australian, and I have seen even in affluent countries. I've lived in US, UK, and Australia for a very long time. And I know of people that have had this disease infect someone in the family, and the entire family has lost its savings trying to save that one individual, and unfortunately they didn't even save that individual and they have gone bankrupt. And the reality is that the way we look at it, and one of the statements that my father always made was, the only real solution to cancer is if you can detect it early. And that is what our breakthrough is about. And I believe that will change a lot of lives.
Well, it forms, and yet sometimes it takes quite some time to actually show up as a tumor that people can feel, or before it starts to affect maybe people's brains and they're wondering, geez, what is wrong? I don't feel right. I'm going to go in the hospital. And it's too advanced. It's too late. let's talk about your test, what it can do, and how it took you along this journey to create what could eventually be approved as this unbelievable test.
Liz, there are three global firsts, if I can just let your audiences know what this test is about. There are three global firsts that we claim. This is the first pan-cancer blood test. So it can detect all cancers, but interestingly, it can detect it at a stage called cancer in situ, which is still PET negative. So it is still not detectable on a PET scan, but we can not only detect its presence, we can tell you which cancer and where it is growing straight from a blood test. So that's claim one. Claim two, this is the first prognostic test for cancer. So not only can we tell you that you do not have cancer, but we can actually tell you that you are at low risk of cancer for the next 12 months, because essentially we know the pace at which these markers grow. So effectively, if you're within a safe zone, we know that the fastest cancer will not move from there to a tumor stage in 1 year. So you can understand the use case of a test like that. Mm. It's a blood test that all of us will do in the future once a year, and we will either catch cancer at stage one or before, when it is infinitely more curable. Claim three, which is actually the very interesting one for oncologists, we can give you dysfunctional pathways and mutation readings that you typically get from a biopsy of the tumor tissue. Ah. We can give it to you from a blood test itself.
Okay, well, so biopsies are invasive versus a blood test.
Correct. So the latest research from Salk Institute and other institutes in the US and in Europe have shown that as soon as you do a biopsy, you aid in the spread of the disease, because it actually speeds up the activity of the tumor. But not just that, when you do a biopsy, think about it, you get the mutation readings of that particular tumor. Sometimes the driver mutation in an advanced stage, so in a metastasized stage, mm-hmm. when you have multiple tumors, the driver mutations could be coming from a secondary tumor. And if you have done a biopsy of one tumor, you do not get the driver mutations of a secondary tumor. The advantage that we have is that we can give you the mutation readings or the dysfunctional pathways readings for multiple multiple tumors in the body. Now, having said this, the first question that will play in your mind is, how's this possible?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you do that? Because at the moment, there are very few cancers that can be detected from a blood test or from feeling, say, for example, a mammogram for breast cancer.
So Liz, to be blunt, we are not magicians, nor are we the smartest people in the world, right? We literally got lucky. Essentially, we were a cancer drug company that was working on a cancer drug. Mm-hmm. While studying the pathways, we realized that the molecule was acting on a small set of stem cells. And when we looked further, we realized that there's an epigenetic change that is happening on these stem cells, which is in fact creating cancer stem cells. Cancer stem cells then create cancer cells. A billion cancer cells have to come together to form a tumor, a one cubic centimeter tumor. Now, once the tumor matures, it is truly a dangerous disease, because it starts shedding CTCs at a furious pace.
Cancer cells. It sheds the cancer cells into the bloodstream.
Correct. And no, not into the bloodstream, actually in the primary organ, but it's shedding at a pace of about a million CTCs a day. Oof. Right. So at that stage, you are dealing with an aggressive disease. Now, what happens at stage one, as you know, is that it's a localized disease. So what is happening is that there's a mutation that has formed in a primary organ. It could be the lung, it could be the liver, it could be the kidney, any part of your body. But what is happening then is that the tumor cells are proliferating. A billion cancer cells come together, form a tumor. At stage two, what happens is that vascularity starts to happen. So blood vessels start to connect, because the tumor wants to spread faster. Once the tumor gets connected to the blood vessels, it will grow even faster. Mm. By stage three, it is connecting into your lymph nodes. And stage four, as we all know, is a metastasized disease, because that it may be a primary in a particular organ, but it has learned to grow into multiple organs. So now you're dealing with a truly dangerous disease, because not only does it actually proliferate fast, but it has learned to grow into multiple organs.
How many of us have heard out there, or known somebody who, I don't know, had a pain, for example, a very close friend of mine's father. Oh, his wrist was hurting. He goes in, he's diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and 17 days later, he's gone. He's gone. So what you're saying is that you can actually find these biomarkers that begin in stem cells way earlier than just, oh, it's ravaged the whole body. We didn't realize it until now.
Correct. So if I can close that loop, what is happening is that once the tumor starts shedding its tumor bits, if you will, the CTCs, those CTCs break down and they release their contents, which is ctDNA and cell-free RNA. The entire liquid biopsy space, all the big companies that you probably know of, right, have essentially been looking for these tumor bits floating about in peripheral blood. So they are looking for CTCs, ctDNA, cell-free RNA, all resultant markers of the tumor. Mm-hmm. What we had stumbled onto was a causative marker for the tumor. So because the stem cells are growing into the cancer cells, which is actually growing into the tumor. And the interesting thing was that these cancer stem cells start becoming visible in the blood, in peripheral blood, a good 12 to 18 months before the tumor even forms. So the nature of our breakthrough is what we realized was that from peripheral blood, we could isolate or enrich our cells of interest because we know how to distinguish between the healthy pluripotent stem cells versus the cancer stem cells. We are able to actually look at what is the cancer stem cell load. And that we realized is an indicator of when cancer is absent, when cancer is imminent, and when cancer is present.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services, marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
You had a trial and you started in India. How many people and how reliable was it? What were the results?
So the Indian study was a 1,000-patient study where it was a simple design where they took 500 non-cancer patients and 500 cancer patients. And what we were able to show was with very, very high sensitivity, and the cancer patients, in fact, had 25 different cancers within them. What we were able to show that we had extremely high sensitivity and we were able to detect all the cancer patients, but interestingly, we were able to detect the non-cancer patients. Now, Liz, this is very important to understand. The truth is that we get a reading from our cells of interest that this person does not have cancer, right? Because essentially, remember that we get a reading even for healthy patients, as opposed to a CTC-based approach where the absence of tumor cells in the blood is indicative of non-cancer. Now, absence of evidence is not the same as evidence of absence.
Right, as evidence of you don't have it. You can't definitively say that.
Correct, correct. Because look at what is the CTC test, right? I mean, what is the liquid biopsy company doing? Your body, my body has 5.5 liters of blood. They take out 5 ml of blood, which is 0.1% of the total volume of blood. And if they can see a tumor bit, a CTC or ctDNA, they tell you that, well, we think you have cancer. But if they cannot see it, right, they assume you do not have cancer. Now, actually, the truth is that you have not got it in a very small sample of blood that you have taken, right? And that is the reason why you get a lot of false negatives. Cancer patients being told they do not have cancer. And this has been the problem that has plagued the liquid biopsy space, because not only does it give a lot of false negatives, but it gives it at the stage when you want to detect it the most, which is early stages. Because at early stages, remember, before the vascularity has happened, at stage 1 and stage 2, you get very poor results because you have very few of these CTCs and ctDNA floating about in peripheral blood.
But your test enables you to see those very early stage cells that normally don't show up in regular tests. Now you are doing a broader test in the United Kingdom. Tell us about it and tell us when we will know how close you are to approval.
So Liz, we have started, incidentally, last week I also had I spoke at an Oxford roundtable audience in the House of Lords in London. We have a NHS trial starting on colorectal cancers. Now, this is a small study, only 100 patient study. But the logic here is that they want to ascertain, their view was that, look, first things first, let's just prove that you can actually detect colorectal cancer and the non-colorectal cancer patients from a blinded blood study. Their view was that you have completed this study in India. We wish that if we can actually prove it in a UK trial, there will be multiple other trials that scientists and doctors will want to conduct in the UK. So not only have we started the colorectal study, we have also been shortlisted for a follow-on study where we are actually looking at getting a grant from NIHR for lung cancer. Or we are simultaneously, especially because 2 months back, we got published in Oxford Academia's Stem Cell Journal, where we have disclosed the science. We are also in talks with Mount Sinai, and we are also speaking to other institutions in the US to conduct even further studies.
Well, this is important. Let me jump in, because peer reviewing and published results are something that really was the biggest problem with Theranos, which turned out to be a complete fraud, where Elizabeth Holmes is now about to go to prison because she claimed that she could test for all kinds of issues, including cancer, from a drop of blood. And she never allowed peer review. It was super secret. Let's just say we project to the future and this is approved. How much could it cost? And do you anticipate that insurance would pay for it? To me, I would think insurance absolutely should, because the cost for treating somebody late stage is way more onerous than catching it early.
Liz, we believe they will, but you know that there is an emotional reason for why we got into this particular area of research. I lost someone very, very important to me, to our family, my brother-in-law, to cancer. In fact, the marker is named after my brother-in-law. And we genuinely believe the only real solution is catching this disease early. And we are adamant about keeping the pricing of this product low. So let me be blunt. We are looking at pricing it at about £400 in the UK. It'll be at about $500 in the US. But we will keep driving that price down, whether it is insured or not. We want to make this affordable because we genuinely believe that if all 8 billion of us are doing this test every year, we can turn cancer into an early stage disease when it is a lot more, when it is a lot less painful,
right,
and it causes far less suffering to people involved.
Do you anticipate that traditional tissue biopsies will eventually be obsolete?
Liz, you know, the way we see it is that doctors are used to trying to get confirmatory results in a specific way or a manner. The way we see it is that we will actually sit at the top of the process, because not only can we tell you that you are at imminent threat of cancer, we can tell you which primary organ, and therefore indicate that you need to go and do a PET scan now, or that you need to actually go and do a biopsy of this particular organ. Right. Or, for example, there may be, for example, if it is colon cancer, we will actually say go and do a colonoscopy. Right. Now, the way we see it is that we are not an immediate threat to these technologies, because doctors still want to actually get their confirmation in the manner that they are used to seeing the confirmation. But we do believe that we will actually be able to advise this to patients a little earlier when you can do a lot more that particular patient.
Absolutely.
And that's the point.
We are also so interested to know the climb, the process. Were there times where you felt like you wanted to give up? I can only imagine this has been a years-long effort.
So Liz, the way I see it is that this is frankly, the breakthrough of my father, because as you know, my personal background was investment banking. I worked in the US, UK for a long time, and Australia for a very long time. I came back to India and I worked with three of the largest investment banks in India. In fact, I was the national TMT head at Edelweiss. What happened was that my father was extremely interested in molecular medicines and a delivery mechanism that he was working on. Now, interestingly, he was working on this for more than a decade. And, when I came back to India, he did mention that, look, you know, he's trying to raise some capital. But every time I would speak to my friends in the US, they would go, wow, this is cutting edge. But when I looked at, when I would talk to a lot of the private equity firms in India, a lot of them didn't understand what he was doing. And the breakthrough that I realized was that I was actually able to raise the capital for him. When I did that, right, the investors insisted that they wanted me to join as the CEO, because they said, look, there's a key man risk here. Your father is in his late 70s. The reality is that this will need international capital. Now, that was a crux moment for me, because I was in a very senior role. In fact, when I went and told my boss, who was the promoter of Edelweiss, that, look, I'm going to resign because I'm going to join this business, his first point was that, look, you know, the next raise that you do, let me know and I'll put in money if you're so serious about this. And sure enough, the next round that I raised, I got funding from one of the largest pharma companies in India, one of the largest private cancer hospital chain in the country, and a lot of individuals in their personal capacity, a lot of HNIs from India that invested. And sure enough, Venkat, the promoter of Edelweiss, also invested. Now, having raised that money, the challenge was that we were working on the molecular medicine piece until we realized that, while we were studying the pathways of this molecule, we literally stumbled onto this particular cell. And because we were cancer experts, we understood the implication of what we had found. But as you can imagine, at that time, when we were trying to raise capital for this diagnostic piece, that was when the Theranos story was breaking down.
Oh.
And there was a lot of skepticism about anything to do with a blood test.
Sure.
Finally, we were able to raise capital in Singapore, right? And, once we did that, of course, and we got the clinical studies, but even after we got the clinical studies, there were question marks the issue from our perspective was that, Liz, the interesting thing is that this particular cell was not found by us. It was in fact found by an American scientist in an American university 15 years back, but in the tissue, right? So effectively next to a tumor. And what he had hypothesized was that these cells are growing into the tumor cells. But think about it, that has no diagnostic value. What is the diagnostic value of a small cell sitting next to a tumor telling you there's a tumor close by?
Tell me something I don't know.
If you can zoom in and see the small cell, we'll zoom out and see the tumor. The tumor itself is so small, you're never going to see it. The breakthrough that our scientists made was that we enriched it from peripheral blood. Now, once we enriched it, we realized immediately, because we were cancer experts, that look, if you've got a non-invasive way to actually enrich these cells and actually be able to see that the cancer stem cells are going beyond a certain point, and therefore that is indicative of tumor formation, that has immense value, right? Because it's just a blood test that all of us have to do.
Well, Ash, as we finish up here, I do want to stress one thing, and that was what drove you here. Your dad, of course, was working on it, but your brother-in-law had cancer, then it was in remission, and 16 years later, it flared up again, and it took his life. I know that somewhere in the skies, in the heavens, wherever, he is looking down and thanking you, but this could be a breakthrough so much more dramatic on such a global scale. Now, what would you say to him if he could hear you?
I know that he is actually smiling down at our work. In fact, one of the last things he had told me before he passed away was that I'm very proud of what you're doing, and I think this is going to change a lot of lives. It's personally sad for me that this particular test was not there for him, because like I said, if we could have detected it early, I think the outcome would have been very, very different. But one of the poignant lines that he had once told me is, he had this jocular way of explaining, of making his points. And he just asked me that, have you ever seen $70,000-$80,000 or something disappear in a second? And I said, no. And he picked up his chemo drug, had the pill, and he started laughing. And then he said that, at least we can afford this.
Right.
The question is, what are the poor even supposed to do?
Oh.
And that is something that played in my mind. And the reality of the matter is that at some point, when you yourself said that this is the second biggest killer in the world, think about how many people, can't even afford those kind of medication.
Right.
And I personally believe the only real solution is detecting it early. And I think it's poignant and very important to me that we named this marker after him, because personally, the way research works is that we would have probably just stayed with molecular medicine. The only reason we started looking in the other piece was because my brother-in-law was suffering with this disease, and we wanted to understand how is this particular disease starting. And so he's a very important factor in why this development has taken place. And I know both my brother-in-law and my father will be looking down at us and smiling at the work that we're doing.
We here at Everyone Talks to Liz are cheering you on. I can hear our listeners saying, go, 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 make this happen, make this happen. Ash, keep us posted. We will continue to follow this breakthrough that you are working on. And Godspeed, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ash Tripathi, what an incredible effort. And when you think about what drove him and what sparked his effort as he was really stumbling upon what could be something no one else was really able to wrap their arms around, boy, this could be the biggest game changer in the world of cancer detection. We love to bring you these stories, you guys, and we hope they inspire you. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. I will see you Monday through Friday on the Claim and Countdown on Fox Biz. Thanks again. Love you guys. Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.